This is the Michael E. Gerber Show. Big voices in small business. And now here's your host, Michael E. Gerber.
This is the Michael E. Gerber Club. The purpose of these calls is to give you an opportunity to pick my brains, what's left of them, and to go to work on your lives rather than just in your lives, to enable you to go to work on your business rather than just in your business, to transform what you do. I have the unique experience over the past 35 to 40 years of working with people just like you and providing them with an opportunity to do something they've never done before. And by doing something they've never done before, I mean to go beyond the limitations that exist for all of us given our frame of reference. Our frame of reference, unfortunately and typically, has to do with work. It's the work that you and I do. We do it. We begin to create a company to do it, whether that company be a for-profit or a not-for-profit, and we end up being the subject of that company rather than creating an object of our creativity. The company doesn't exist without us. So, as you possibly all know, if you've read any of my books, the company is you. I am my company. Therefore, I don't own a company because I have not been able to scale my company beyond what I do every day. For most of us, it seems impossible to do. For many, 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 many millions of people, it is impossible to do given their frame of reference. So in this call, my intention is always not simply to solve a problem by giving you a quick and dirty solution, which of course we can always do, but to provide you with a new frame of reference. And to the degree you're here, understanding that it is your frame of reference that limits you and inhibits you and contracts you from being able to expand exponentially in the world, then obviously it's not what you do that must be changed. It's your frame of reference that must be transformed. So as presumptive as that might sound to be, I'm here to transform your frame of reference by working on the examples that you provide. So effectively, this only works to the degree it does, because you come here with something you need. And I'm here then to respond to that need in the best way that I see available, which may not appear to you in the moment that it happens to be the best way available. But as you begin to give thought to it, you'll most often come to the very same conclusion, that little things happen rather than big things, because the little part of us goes to work, busy, 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 doing it, doing it, doing it, without any true expansive frame of reference to see that each and every one of us are here with the opportunity to transform the world. Literally, each and one of us are here with the opportunity to transform the world. We are so consumed with work, however, and so consumed with the problems and frustrations that show up at work, that we have absolutely no ability to conceptualize what it would mean that your destiny and my destiny, in fact, every single human being's destiny, is to transform the world. Who am I to believe I could transform the world when I can't even make enough money to get through the next month? Most people would unfortunately have to say. Well, the minute you begin to understand this perspective about transforming your mindset, the way you think about what you do and how things work, is in fact the conclusion that you must reach before you can even begin to believe you could transform the world, well then, that's the reason for being here today. So I've made a commitment to do these calls in what I call the Michael E. Gerber Club, 2 times a month, an hour each time. And in those calls, to relate to each and every single person who asks a question to the degree I'm able and to the degree the time permits, and to get on with it. So in essence, you create this call and you create this opportunity, or you do not. You either choose to actively engage, or you choose to sit and listen while others do. Either is fine with me. I'm going to be here for the next 50 minutes with you, ready, awake, and available. So who wants to ask a question?
That's lovely that you are going to be awake. I appreciate that, because I understand.
Well,
I do understand that. That's lovely. I read your book, your first book, about all about pies. I just fell in love with that story, and actually met a woman in Washington. I'm in Washington, D.C. Met a woman here in Washington who actually started a bakery because of her pies. And for her, when she started, it was all about pies, but she has this lovely shop here on 9th Street in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And it's thriving and it's lovely. And I told her about your book, and I gave her my copy of your CD for her to listen. And I gave another friend who also does pies around Thanksgiving, I gave her the book. So they do love it. It was wonderful. But I turned again to your book this time because I do appreciate the sound of wisdom that I hear and the in your voice, and in the sound that I hear seems to invite us and almost tell us in some kind of way that this is the way you do business, and that it all seems to make sense to me that if you're going to do something, go for it, you know, and make it the very best of who you are and put all that you are into it. And your work seems to speak to that part of me, and I appreciate that so much. I am a teacher, but I started a program that tries to take children beyond the walls of school. And
beyond the walls of school.
Yeah, to have real adventures though that are about learning, and but about learning about the world, and in particular learning about the world of work and what it looks like and what it feels like to visit a place and talk to someone who has maybe like 10 years on you, a 13-year-old, and see what it looks like at that perspective, gone through college, high school, college, and now into a job, and you like it a lot. And how'd you do that? So I take kids to do that. And I love the work, you know, where you remind us to have meaning. And I'm just pouring through my work and the writings that I've done to find evidence of that and find my own accountability. Am I really reaching that level? Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
What is your name?
My name is Donna.
Hi, Donna. So Donna, this venture that you're describing, taking kids outside of the walls of school and learning, is that a company?
Yeah, it is. It started 9 years ago with my youngest daughter, who was bored as an eighth grader, did not want to go back to another summer camp, and was too young to get a job. And so I took her and 7 of her friends, all females at that time, to visit 9 of my friends who were working women out in the world doing interesting things. And so we just took cameras and backpacks, got on the metro, and asked questions, took pictures, and we created a photo journal. And we just talked about what is it that helps people get to those places in life. How'd you get? And so they really liked it. Well, I was finishing raising my children, so all my children are finished college now, so I decided to do it again. And last year I did it with 10 students and one gentleman helping me. And it was really very successful. We had lots of the lovely thing of that, the young adults love for the younger people to come out to their business. Well, I mean, those are who I turn to.
Right.
And for them to talk about, well, I've only been out of college maybe 10 years, but here's what I did, and here I had to stick to it. Yeah, I failed, but I did this, and this is how I tried again, and here's where my friends, and I had to give up my loser friends, and I did it. So it was really wonderful to have authentic voices talking to them. And then they went through the job and did whatever they did, looked at what they did, went behind the scenes at the CNN. We were invited to the CNN down in Atlanta, and went through the Cartoon Network and actually saw the guys and met the guys who do the drawing and put the cartoons on and how it happens. And it was like adventure for these kids, and they loved it. And so we do things here in Washington just the same way. We go wherever we can and who allows us in.
Okay. So do you get paid to do that?
The parents pay me. And we also take yoga. I paid my yoga teacher, and I paid the guy who worked with me. And
right.
I paid another young woman who worked with me. I did not pay myself. I gave a scholarship to a student who I wanted her energy.
I got it. So what I'm asking you here, let's take the perspective for the moment. Because what I want to do is to leave you with something here that resonates inside of you, to enable you to understand that this is how what you're doing, this lovely thing that you're doing, is how so many things get started and then just peter out.
Mm-hmm.
It can become an experience called an event, or it can become a capability that you're capable of expanding exponentially to every child everywhere who, provided you do this in the way that it is waiting to be done, understand, it's not my idea for it, it's in the way that it's waiting to be done. All the questions I would ask you about this from the perspective of an entrepreneur, the entrepreneurial possibility in this, not the work possibility in this, the experience possibility in this, but the entrepreneurial possibility in this, to grow an extraordinary venture that transforms the world. You have the opportunity to do that.
Well, that's what I want to do.
Good. So I hear the energy around it. And what I want to ask you then is this an active process through which you're inventing a new company?
Yes, it's a 501c3 right now, nonprofit organization. And yes, I am inventing it and decided to now take it to the next level to start a winter Saturday morning program of 9 weeks. This will be the first time.
Okay. So what's the result? What's the great result you're going to produce? I hear you're taking them out for an experience, an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
The adventure is a life experience where they gain the opportunity to literally mix with people they would never really get an opportunity to mix with, in a somewhat controlled environment, the net result of which then is an opportunity to engage with those children in what was experienced and what then they can do about it. Meaning, it's not just the event, it's not just the experience, it's the process that then is evoked, having been having experienced in this adventure something that they rarely would have been able to experience. Now the question becomes, so now what do we do with that experience that can add deeper value to each of those kids' lives?
Yeah.
In everything they do.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to think of a blank piece of paper in beginner's mind for the moment, Donna.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And to understand outcome, the outcome of this, the reach of this, the extension of this, is where the excitement lives.
Yeah.
There are countless initiatives going on everywhere in every community that never go anywhere. Countless 501Cs everywhere that never go anywhere. But the experience that people have momentarily, And those kids might remember that experience 15, 20 years from now. But the gap between the experience and 15 to 20 years from now is where the price is paid. Because the experience is one thing, and then the activation of a new life skill or relationship is what's missing in school.
Yeah, I get that.
They'll get it, and then it's lost.
Yeah.
They get it, and then it's you'll have fun. You'll all have an exquisite time. Why? Because of your finer attention, because of your love, because of the gift you're actually bringing to them. But it's a momentary gift. And I say it's a momentary gift because now they're back where they were, with all the same impressions, with all the same lack of joy and enthusiasm, with all the same deadening experiences that occur in their homes, in their schools, in their relationships,
right,
and on and on and on and on. So what is lasting about this is where the truly exciting opportunity lives.
Yeah. Last year, I'll just say these two things. Last year, the 10 students that I had at the end of their six-week program, because a lot of them were at the school where I teach, when I saw them in September, they came up to me and said, "Ms. Robinson, you're going to do it again? Are we going to do this again? And you're going to have another summer program? Then I want to be in it." Okay, so all of them except one were back. And they gathered, you know, they asked. Then I had some phone calls from some parents, you know, "What is this you're doing?" They want to know about your summer program already. Can they sign up? And next thing I know, I had checks rolling in for, and I was done. I didn't advertise or anything. So we did it again this year, went to New York this time. And so they're really helping me see what to do. Well, I decided and I asked them, "How would you like me to stay with you for your entire time through middle school?" Which means I had them in fifth grade, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. "How'd you like me to stay? And let's stay together for that long, and let's watch you grow and support you with that
right.
activity."
So you're turning a project into a program.
Yes.
So this is the critical thing. You're turning a project into the program. So in terms of the dreaming room, which is what I have been doing, and I'll be doing it exponentially throughout the world over the coming few years. In the dreaming room, I talk about the four components of the entrepreneur. Each and every one of you have to understand this. It's the dreamer, the thinker, it's the storyteller, and it's the leader. The dreamer has a dream, the thinker has a vision, the storyteller has a purpose, and the leader has a mission. The four are absolutely essential to what you're doing, Donna. And so, what's your dream? My dream is a great result. What is the great result you're attempting to produce? It's not just that experience. A great result is the transformation of these young children into leaders in the world. They're going to learn to lead in the world. They're going to learn to experience life, not just as the people that you brought them to have experienced it. They're going to go so far beyond the people you brought them to, because they're not going to end up simply doing what the people you brought them to are doing. They're going to go beyond what those people are doing. They're going to learn from you something that absolutely is essential that so few people learn. And that is to go outside of the walls of our life, to go outside of the boundaries that seem to exist, to grow beyond all of the apparencies that we're constrained by, to discover within me, each of us, those children, someone we have never truly known before, who's been a secret to us. And that powerful someone, the essence, the soul of each of those children, is dying for food, inspiration,
right,
that they're not reaching. not experiencing in their regular lives. That's what you get the opportunity to do. My dream is to transform the lives of children into creators in the world.
Yeah. Well, you sound like me. You sound like me when I'm thinking by myself. But your words are when I was reading your book yesterday, and some of the words are exact. They were expressing some of my own feelings about just because it's not that I don't want my students, just like you said, I don't want them just to replicate these people. I want them to know strategies for living so they can do what they want to do. And I don't want to just produce just people. Kids who just want to go out and work. I want children who love living.
Right. So what you need to do.
They're going to get out and do all kinds of things.
So what you need to do then, Donna, is you need to create the method through which that's going to occur. So
yeah,
the stimulation,
of
that experience you've given them is only one piece of it. What in fact is stimulating is your attention. Because nobody's focused the kind of attention you're focusing on them to take them where you're taking them. What's truly joyful for them is their experience of your attention to them in a way that nobody has given them their attention before. The adventure is an inner, internal adventure of feeling seen, cared for, and feeling important to someone who is demonstrating her love for them, which is what you're doing. Now I'm saying that's an enterprise, but you have to build it in a very specific way, just like I spoke of in All About Pies, just as I spoke of in The E-Myth Revisited. Have you read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within?
No, I have not, no.
Get the book.
But I will.
Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, that's the book you need to read today.
Okay, I will.
And
okay.
Read that book, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll understand that this thing is bigger than anything you have ever imagined it to be. But in order for that to happen, you have to dream big. You have to think small, and you have to act even smaller. You have to build a prototype. And you haven't really done that. You've got the first part of the prototype. But the first part of the prototype, what you're doing, and you'll pardon me, this is just Michael talk. The first part of the prototype, what you're doing, needs to be shaped a bit differently. Now that what you're going to do is to see it as opening the window to those children's souls, you are now going to continue with them to create new people. And they're going to be created because you're going to awaken the creator within each and every one of them in a way they've never imagined, and their parents have never imagined, and you have never imagined yet. And that's what you have the potential to do. Because your soul, your spirit, your vitality, your love, your creativity has been awakened to do this, and now I'm saying there's a lot more to do. So that's my share with you today. Take it in.
Fabulous. Thank you. I will.
You can get the recording of this.
I will.
And what I've just said to Donna, I'm saying to every single one of you. So understand one of the other advantages of being here and interacting with this conversation is that each and every one of you know I'm not just speaking to Donna, I'm speaking to every single one of you. We think too small. We dream too small. We don't take on the world. Donna, there's a billion children like the children you took to wherever you took. A billion children who are suffering for the lack of what you can, to the degree you take it on, whole hog plus postage, to the degree you can, create this extraordinary little prototype. You can replicate it just like McDonald's everywhere in the world. There are women like you everywhere in the world waiting to become your franchisee, waiting to touch the hearts and souls of children in their community, waiting for the system that you need to invent to enable them to do that. And you might say to yourself, yeah, but why me? Well, why not you? Who else is going to do it? Mother Teresa?
We studied her this summer, too.
There you go. So who else is going to do this but you? All you need to do is step up to the plate, stop thinking about it, and engage in the process of building your franchise prototype with the understanding, I'm going to do this in Boston, I'm going to do this in Bell Harbor, I'm going to do this in Providence, I'm going to do this everywhere and anywhere in the world where the children, like the children I have met with, where those children live. And I'm going to do that as well as Ray Kroc did McDonald's. The little sucker will work absolutely exquisitely and awaken the hearts of these children and not disappoint them as they've been disappointed again and again and again and again and will be for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
You get to do that, Donna.
Well, I'm stepping up to the plate, that's for certain.
You got it. So read the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, and come back to the next call.
I will do that.
You got it. Who else wants to speak?
Sue from Welcome Home Troops.
Yes, Welcome Home Troops.
Yes, I'm really excited to hear what you had to say to Donna because I feel the same way. I feel like I'm sort of my organization did not actually start out of a job or a work situation, yet I have something that is, I just feel like I'm way in over my head. I basically had a dream or an experience that led me to know that what I can do can make a difference in the entire nation. Our service members are suffering from PTSD. And basically PTSD, and I'm going to break it down very simply, is a traumatic memory or an experience that someone has had. Yeah. And we give away for free tickets to recreate for our service members new experiences with their families. We provide the opportunity through Tickets for Troops to restore healthy, hopeful, happy memories with their families as opposed to the memories of war.
Yes. And you do that, and you do that how?
We make arrangements with various agencies as platform events with NASCAR, NHRA, baseball stadiums, and we give away these tickets all around the nation. We had 14 events in 8 states last year, and this year I'm completely focusing on developing my relationship and the business process because I'm not a business person. I really am basically, I'm a grandma from Lake Elsinore, and I have a heart for the next generation, and I wanted to make a difference.
Great. So the tickets are being donated by the events?
Some of the tickets are being donated. Some of them we have to raise money for.
Right. Okay. So effectively, you have a business that isn't a business.
Yes.
Right. And we're going to make it a business. So rather than going into an extensive conversation about it, how do you make it a business? You sell the tickets. Sell the tickets to other people who are buying the tickets for those families. You follow me?
Yes. Opposed to giving the tickets away free, I get sponsors to buy the tickets.
You are having people buy the tickets that you then give to those families.
Even if the tickets are donated, I still have people buying them so that that will support
the
organization.
Damn right.
Okay.
Because business has got to make money.
Uh-huh.
You can't do this for free.
Okay.
You can't spend the rest of your life giving it away, giving it away, giving it away. Effectively, it's a business. It's an extraordinarily alive social business that is achieving an extraordinary result. I'm presuming everything you're saying to be true. I have to do that in these calls. In other words, I'm not questioning whether what you do works. I'm assuming it works to the degree that the experience works.
It does work, and we actually have a research scientist working with us to quantify the process.
Right. And I'm going to say then that the first part of the process, the cash flow of this process, is you're going to sell tickets. You're going to sell tickets to people who want to give that experience to a vet they've never met. You follow me?
Give an experience.
Give that experience to a vet you've never met. And they're going to give that experience to a vet you've never met because they believe in both the value, the gift that we've been given by this Marine, this soldier, this sailor, whomever. And they understand what the problem is. And there are millions of Americans who will do that in a minute, in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Follow that?
That's,
so one
this
little,
made it really simple.
One little shift of attention immediately alters your reality. Nothing's changed other than you have now created cash flow. And why do you need to create cash flow? Well, for you to do this in earnest, for you to do this a lot, for you to do this for many, 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 many tens of thousands of people, continuously, you need to create the capability for this to thrive. But you've only begun with the beginning. You've only given them an experience. And I'm not denigrating that by any means whatsoever. It's extraordinary. But now it must continue. It's just like I was speaking to Donna, that the kids get an experience is wonderful, but then there's life. And you can walk into their lives and walk out of their lives, and they will always love for you for what you've done. But understand, all that will do will be to satisfy your ego, but it will not, in fact, transform their lives. It will be a beginning. But there's so much more that needs to be done. So essentially, you've identified a beginning, a first step. But it's not the whole process. Now, I don't want to overwhelm you with the whole process because there's no need for that right now. All I need you to do is to take a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind and begin the process of looking at what it is you truly are here to do. You've been called to do. It's as though God reached out his hand in whatever way that expresses itself and touched you. You were inspired in an instant, in a moment. One way you can say you were called to do this.
Actually, that is exactly how it happened.
Of course.
I was the prayer director for a city event, And at the end of the day, I had the vision to do this. And it goes beyond all of my boundaries, and it is to transform a nation. The issues are huge, and it is that. But I have to put one foot in front of the other, and I don't quite know how to do that. So
I know you don't. But,
I see the big picture.
I know you don't. But hear me. Nobody does.
Yeah.
To understand when you're called, it doesn't mean you're ready. You're ready to take that first step, and you've done it. Bold, incredibly full of love, the spirit, the vitality of it is extraordinary. And now you have to take accountability. And that is, now that you've inserted yourself into their lives, now that you've taken the initiative to provide them with this experience, now you have the accountability for going and taking it further, and you have to learn how to do that. You have no choice. It's almost as though God spoke, and here you are. You have no choice. You've been called. You've been moved. You've been touched. And the deeper you go into this, the more touched you get. I can absolutely guarantee you the experience that you have continuously of the impact of what you're doing with these vets and their families is absolutely extraordinary. True?
Yeah. So true, yeah. But I can hardly talk about it because it changes life in amazing ways.
I know, and it changes you in amazing ways.
Because I get to see it.
You get to feel it.
I get to experience the watch, from my perspective, watching the process touch and change lives.
Yep.
In amazing ways, moving people from death to life.
It's called love at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can absolutely feel it in you, and I can absolutely know exactly what that experience is. Because I know what that experience is. And I'm saying, and now you must take the accountability to lead this where it needs to go. And so, as with Donna, it's insufficient to give these kids this one experience. As with Donna, it's insufficient for you to give these vets and their families this one experience. Because one experience will never alter someone's life. It will begin it, but it will not complete it. There's so much more to do. And that calls for a entrepreneurial perspective about the system that must be invented in order for this entity to come full circle and to truly, truly have a staggeringly effective life to it. These lives go on after that event. And I'm suggesting there's where the real opportunity is. So think of the event as an experience that is beginning a conversation. It's an experience that begins a conversation. And the conversation with those vets and their families is just beginning. And then the question becomes, and then what? And then what? And then what? And I'm simply suggesting that as you begin to think, then what? Then what? I see all of these families, everyone who has participated in this experience, now are connected with each other in a way they'd never imagined before. And that connection is a social network. And that social network must have some vitality to it and capability to it to continue the conversation. Because I can guarantee you that experience is life-altering, but it is not complete. They go home also with the remembrance of the other experience.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't eradicated. And so all I'm making your life is more difficult. Right. Just welcome to the club. You're laughing. You're laughing. But I'm being so honest with you. I'm just making your life more difficult.
Yes, this is hard stuff. The easy part was the practical application of it and doing it. And now, in order to make it a life-giving, generational thing, you've got to put work into it that you know nothing about.
So I know. So we'll talk more about that. This too is just an experience.
Oh, okay.
This too is just an experience, and we'll talk more about that. And so Donna, and I'm sorry, your
Two.
Name with the vets.
Two.
Uh huh. Donna and Sue. So Donna and Sue, what you need to do is you need to call 760-752-7912 and ask for Janet. And Janet will then help to define what the next step must be for you so that you're not just left out there trying to figure it out. Neither of you are kids. And so time is of the essence. You're not just going to figure it out. You need help to figure it out. I need to find out how to create the help that you need to figure it out, because each of you are taking on a huge, extraordinary thing. Huge. The implications of what you truly have set out to do is huge. It's beyond your ken. It's beyond your knowledge. It's beyond what you know how to do. But that doesn't mean you oughtn't to do it, because no entrepreneur knows what he or she needs to do in order to do what he believes he wishes to do. He just figures it out. My job is to help you figure it out and to make sure you don't go off on a tangent, and to make sure that the structure that must exist with inside your creativity and your heart and your love, the structure supports that. But I don't want to make
you.
I don't want to make empty promises. I simply want you to know that you're not alone in what you do.
Well, the validation feels supportive. And even listening to Sue, I can hear in her project that it not only is it huge, it's straight out of her heart. And it's just, and so I certainly agree with you that it's something that you have to do, Sue, and you have to take it to wherever it is you're supposed to be taking that, because it just, you can just feel it come out of you while you're talking. So,
yep.
All my best to you too, my dear, as you get going on that, because that sounds like a wonderful venture.
Think of a vet without it. Think of a child without it. And you'll immediately understand why you cannot do anything other than to pursue it whole hog plus the postage. You've got to do it.
If Donna's program had been in place for the past 20 years, what I'm doing would be easier. Because what I believe is that the changing of the perspective is the real-time, real-life experiences. And what Donna's doing is foundational to be able to appreciate the value of a real-time, real-life experience.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we all grow up without that.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna sees it, and you see the end result of it, We all experience it. Everybody knows when we speak about this on this call, everybody knows the truth of it.
Hmm.
I wish somebody had done that for me when I was in middle school, when I was in elementary school.
You, Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You cannot imagine how many of the young adults, and I say that because that's what this program seems to attract. You cannot imagine how many of these adults have said to me, boy, I wish there was something like that when I was coming along. I just went to the Wachovia Bank here, and I was talking with two of the bank managers, one a field manager, one a, you know, regional manager, and both of them said the same, but it happens everywhere I go.
Of course.
And it makes you, well, it validates me again, but it came out of the experience with my young daughter, who was bored with camps. I don't want to go back to any more summer camps. I'm tired of that. I want to do something. I want to work. No jobs yet. And it's just knowing that children haven't really finished playing yet. They have not had enough play in our country yet. But they should not be forced into working. And, well, let's just peek over some shoulders, but let's put some structure to it. And, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. And it's like play to me. It's so much fun.
Yep.
It's so much fun, and it's so rewarding that I feel like, Sue, you can hardly talk about it, that it's absolutely so much fun, and I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, ladies, thank you for joining the call. Let's see who else has a question.
Hi, this is Avi.
Hi, Avi.
Hi, I had a question. I'm going a little bit past where Sue and Donna are up to, but just in a, I can't say I'm on as altruistic a mission as they. I have a business. But my question is, what kind of general, I know it's hard to get into specifics, guidance can you give in terms of, you know, I've been working a lot on my business for a while already, and almost to the point where I'm neglecting in the business part of it. And my question is, I just don't seem to be seeing the fruits at this point. And, you know, it's frustrating. I'm trying to do so many different things to get to create the prototype. And it just seems that working on the business is requiring so much in the business knowledge as you're creating this prototype.
What kind of business is it?
An insurance agency.
Okay. And what
and
is your, what
seems that, go ahead.
What is it that you're working on and why?
Well, when you talk about, you know, the McDonald's and you talk about the hotel experiences and the book that you've
right.
had, so much of it is so technical. So much of the setup of this prototype is so technical. It's creating the very detailed, you know, checklist, or it's creating the all the different things that go into running a day-to-day business, you know, from an intake, from a call, from, you know, setting everything up is very, very technical, and I find it very, very difficult to work on the business without getting bogged down with the details of how the business works, and trying to get my employees to do it. They don't understand the whole concept of where I'm going, and they have their job to do in the business, and they don't have the time to assist in any way, shape, or form, at least, you know, the way I'm doing it. So
I hear you. So let's go back to the beginning, which essentially is where everything goes awry. Let's go back to the beginning, and the beginning, I would presume, Avi, in this particular case, was The E-Myth Revisited. Did you read that book?
I read, yes.
Okay.
The E-Myth, the one with the hotel, yes, The E-Myth.
Yeah, right. The E-Myth
Revisited. E-Myth Revisited, yes.
Yeah. Why most small businesses don't work and what to do
correct.
With that.
Correct, yes. That's
Avi read it. Did you enroll in the E-Myth Mastery Program?
No.
Right.
I'm in some other program.
What program are you in?
I guess the Dreaming Club. I'm not sure what point.
Avi, you came to the Dreaming Room?
Yes.
Okay. When did you do that?
About 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago?
No, not the Dreaming Room. The club. The Dreaming Club.
The Michael Gerber Club.
Yes, Michael Gerber Club.
Okay.
Only different name. apologize.
Michael Gerber Club is not the Dreaming Room, and it's not the...
No, not the Dreaming Room, no.
Okay, so you came to these calls?
Yes.
Got it. All right. These calls are, you might say, the glue that holds the remembrance together of why you're doing what you're doing, but it's not the doing of it.
Gotcha.
In other words, you're not going through a process here. What you're simply doing is getting my attention to try to alter your frame of reference.
Okay.
And your frame of reference, unfortunately, has missed the most important part of what I'm communicating. You're working on the system. The system obviously is essential. How you do this, how you do this, how you do this, how you do that. But my intuition told me, listening to what you're saying, that I would guarantee you there's a gap or a barrier between you and the people in your agency. I imagine it's an agency, right?
Yes, correct.
Right. In your agency and what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Because all they see it as is control. Your people see that all the stuff you're creating is a way of controlling what they do and how they do it. And because they see it as an attempt on your part to control what they do and how they do it, the first words you said is, they don't understand it. Well, they don't understand it because it's offensive in a way to them. They don't understand the idea underlying it. Because my perception is, you want to get this result, you want to get this thing turnkeyed, you want to get your franchise prototype done, but what you haven't really done is to inspire the people who are going to effectively need to engage and partner with you in reinventing your business, to truly be inspired by the possibility of it. There are five key functions within every company. You can write these down or not. The first of which is inspiration. Inspiration is absolutely essential for anything of any vitality to occur in your company. And inspiration has to be continuous. And inspiration is what provides the epiphany, the moment of awakening, the moment of seeing, the moment of clarity. Oh, that thing that occurs to us when we hear something that suddenly says, holy shit, how come nobody told me that before? Your people aren't inspired. They're working. The second thing that has to happen is education. Now that you've inspired them, now you have to teach them so that they understand it. So the epiphany, the moment of seeing, is critical, and it has to occur continuously. And the understanding that's critical to bring it down deeper into them has to occur. So they have to be educated. They have to be taught. Let me tell you why that is. So if you read the book, The E-Myth Revisited, or you read my book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, within those books are inspiration, education, training, coaching, and continuous improvement. And those are the five essential functions. Unfortunately, you left out the most important. You're under continuous improvement. You're already working on it, getting the system better, but you left the people out. So you don't have partners. You've got victims.
Wow.
It's so obvious.
I've tried. I explained to them, and as I'm going through this process, I have discovered a lot of things, and they have said, you know, these things. Wow, that's amazing. Wow, we've just saved so much time. Wow, we see a better way of doing things. But,
yeah, but what does it mean to them? Where's the inherent value in that? What's the great idea? Is the great idea, the great result, that you're going to transform the way insurance is done throughout the world and make it available to people who have never had it available before, or whatever, or whatever, or whatever? What's the great idea? What's the great motivator, the great inspiration behind what you're doing? You certainly get it with Donna. Well, you almost do. I understand the kids are going to have an experience, but they're also going to grow up in a shitty world doing shitty work for a shitty reason. Pardon my French. I'm saying it's not enough to do that. In fact, it's almost criminal to do that, to give them this experience and know that they're not going to have this experience next week, next week, next week, next week, next week. What a shame. What a crime. It's a crime to bring these families together and give them an experience that you know they're not going to have next week and next week and next week. Now they've got a hunger for it, but they have no means to be able to replicate it on their own. So you see, Avi, what you have to do is you have to have a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission. And they have to be so vital, so critical, so alive, so meaningful, that your people cannot help but be called. And when they don't know how to do it, and you don't know how to do it, to be able to say to each other, but I don't know how to do it. Well, let's find out how to do it. Let's go someplace and learn how to do it. Let somebody teach us how to do it. It's so important. Why is it important? So we're better organized? Bullshit. People come to work, and then they go home. What's happening at home? What's happening in their lives? Who are these people? What do they want? What is their dream? And on and on and on and on and on. So the minute you awaken the true entrepreneur within each and every one of you, Donna and Sue and Avi and everyone else on this call, the minute you do that, you've taken on the accountability to grow your soul, to grow bigger than you are, to reach for something you've never reached for before. You're taking the accountability for someone else's life. 760-752-7912.
Avi, can I ask you a question?
We don't have time. We're out of time. Always ask a question, but next time. I love you all. Thank you all for coming. Sue, Donna, Avi, and everyone else on the call, we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks very much. Bye.
You've been listening to The Michael E. Gerber Show. Big voices in small business.